Good evening and welcome to Alliance of Honorable Men. Of course, I'm Dr. Leroy Thompson Jr. This is I'll be an instructor for this class. I left my book at my office, but if you have a white book with a plethora of people on the front of it that says Alliance of Honorable Men, that's the book we'll be coming out of. Just to give you a little background on this book before I pray, this book is a very powerful book. And it will train us in understanding covenant and understand how effective and how valuable covenant is in God's kingdom, in God's apostolic kingdom, his agenda. I know you've been enjoying school thus far, and so tonight's class, welcome, is not going to be anything different. We're going to delve into the Word of God. And you will definitely learn things this year. Father, thank you so much for your grace, for your mercy. Thank you for your peace, your love, your understanding. Thank you for revelation knowledge. Thank you for giving us your son, Jesus, letting him die on the cross for our sins, that we can be redeemed so that we can have moments like these. Thank you for giving us the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help us tonight. Help us to understand the agenda of God, understand what he wants. We give you all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So on tonight's class, I have to do a little prepping first because this book, Alliance of Honorable Men, takes us on such a pivotal journey. Other words, it's going to challenge your theology. It's going to challenge your denominational thinking. And so I want to prep it a little bit before we go into the actual book so that you can have a good foundation for when we start making discoveries. It won't be such a culture shock to you. Two things that we're going to have to learn, you're going to hear me say over and over in this class, is the word God-centric and self-centric. And we're going to add to the definition of faith. We're going to define faith in a very unique way because a lot of times the church or teachings from the 21st century church has made living for God self-centric. In other words, every scripture we read, every service we attend, every service we do for God, it's about what we can benefit from God, what we can get from God, or how can we benefit from God. But we're going to learn tonight that you can no longer be self-centric. You're going to have to be God-centric. The word centric means central. So you're going to have to be God-centered. You can't be self-centered. A lot of us have learned faith from the perspective of what can faith get us. But we're going to learn tonight that your faith, the main or the first objective of your faith, is not to get you anything. Listen to me very clearly. The first objective of your faith is not to get you anything. Your first objective of faith is to please God. That's Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So we have to become God-centric, not self-centric. From now on, I want you to begin to read the Word of God. And when you read the Word of God, it's not about what God can do for you. It's about what God can do through you. Go with me to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. Very familiar scripture to you. In John, the 15th chapter, let's get to it. In John, the 15th chapter, we're going to read the first seven verses. Because a lot of us jump to verse 7, right? We know verse 7. But verses 1 through 6 positions us for 7. Let's read it. Jesus is talking here. How we know, very simple, it's written in red. If Jesus' words are not written red in your Bible, you need to get rid of that Bible and get you a Bible that's written with his words in red so you can recognize him talking. It says in the first verse, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring more fruit. Now ye are clean through the words which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch, listen to me, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. This is Jesus talking to the disciples, but he's talking to us. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him. Notice what he said, he that abideth in me and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit or much result. For without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now verse 7 says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, if you're reading that scripture from a self-centric point of view, which means you didn't pay attention to verses 1 through 6, you read verse 7 from a self-centric point of view, which most of us have been in the past, then you're going to think this verse simply means if Jesus lives on the inside of me, I can ask for what I want and he's going to get it to me. That is not what this scripture is saying. Jesus said, if ye abide in me and I in you, meaning we think alike, we have the same agenda, we have the same purpose, meaning you and Jesus, we want the same outcome. When you begin to think like that, then your thinking changes and you'll no longer be asking for things that you want, but you'll begin to ask for things that God wants. Let me explain to you this way. Go to Matthew's, the 6th chapter. By far, my favorite chapter in the Bible. Matthew's, the 6th chapter. I listen to Matthew 6th chapter daily. Sometimes multiple times during the day. I listen to it daily because it's such a powerful chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Go there. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Now, again, Jesus is talking, all right? Now, we don't have too many prayers recorded by Jesus. We see Jesus praying a lot, but we don't see a lot of prayers recorded by Jesus. But this one we do. So I want you to listen to this prayer, and I'm going to ask you a very significant question once I finish reading it. Look at verse 9. Look at verse 8. Look at verse 7. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. But be not ye therefore, verse 8, like unto them, for your heavenly Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask him. Jesus is talking. Jesus said God already knows what your physical, natural needs are even before you ask. All right? That's important. He says, so since that's the case, look at verse 9. He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Or other words, Jesus saying, this is going to be a prayer that you need to model yourself after. This is what he says. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Very simple prayer, but it is a powerful prayer. Jesus prayed this prayer throughout his ministry and throughout his life. You can see Jesus praying this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. How I know Jesus prayed this prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane? Because Jesus asked God, if this cup can pass from me. Other words, Jesus said, if you can find another way to do this, God, now is the time to speak up, Father. But then Jesus came back and said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. See, grab that. Grab that now. I got the question I want to ask you. In this prayer, from verses 9 to verse 13, when did Jesus ask for anything personally? Let that sink in. When did Jesus ask for anything personally? He didn't. Listen, when you become God-centric, let me explain what I mean by being God-centered. God is not first in my life. God is the center of my life. And everything else revolves around Him. Grab that. God is not first in my life. He's the center. And everything else revolves around Him. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So if God is the center of my life, God, I'm God-centric. If God is the center of my life, that means everything else in this world, in my life, in my purview, has to revolve around Him. And if I let it revolve around Him, everything will work out in harmony. That leads me to Romans, the 8th chapter. All things, verse 28, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Notice the word love God. Other words, God-centric. So now, that leads me to, I've got to check my time, I'll make sure I don't go over time. All right, we good. This leads me to our discussion on faith. If you would, turn with me to Hebrews 11th chapter. You're about to learn a lesson on faith that will revolutionize your life. Hebrews 11 and 1. Let me turn it. Hebrews 11 and 1. Watch what it says here. Very familiar scripture, you know this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Faith cannot be self-centric. I know we've been taught name it and claim it, not against it, because it has its place. And I'm going to show you where its place is. I'm not against using faith to get healed. Using faith, because you got to. I'm not against using faith to get your house. But there is a process. There is a procedure. There is a supernatural way it's done. It's not mechanical like we've tried to make it mechanical. Turn with me to Romans the 12th chapter. We're going to use a lot of scripture tonight. Romans the 12th chapter. Watch this. Here's where we're going to begin to discover faith in a unique way. Romans the 12th chapter, particularly verse 3. Now, watch this. Watch what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans the 12th chapter, verse 3. He says, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt, watch this, to every man the measure of faith. Now this is powerful, because it says God has dealt to every man, not some men, but every man, even sinners, watch this, the measure of faith. Now, here's the difference between us, born-again believers, and sinners. We can actually discover our faith. They can't discover their faith because they haven't discovered their relationship with God. So if you don't discover your relationship with God and become God-centric, then you can't discover your faith. So now watch what the Apostle Paul says. He says, God has dealt to every man, listen to this now very clearly, the measure of faith. Another word for measure is part or piece. When you're baking something, they say take three measures. all three parts. You know, you measure something. You're measuring a fraction, a piece. You're measuring a wall. You're not, you can't measure all walls. You're going to measure parts of the wall. You know, you stretch the tape out and you measure a part or a piece of something. So it says right here that God has dealt to every man a very specific part or piece of faith. Now, faith can no longer be an abstract term to you. Abstract means you can't put your hands on it. You can't put your eyes on it. It's just kind of out there. Faith has to become concrete. You can put your eyes on it. You can put your hands on it. You can feel it. Talking about faith. Because watch this. Listen, you'll never forget this. You'll never forget this. The term supernatural. Supernatural. Meaning, watch this. It contains the word natural. Something super is happening in the natural. So anytime you have a Bible verse or revelation that you can't use in the natural, get rid of it. Because this Bible is designed and meant for us to use in the natural. So faith has to be used in the natural. So faith cannot be abstract. Faith has to be concrete. Matter of fact, four times, Habakkuk 2 and 4, Galatians 3:11, Romans 1, I think in 17, and Hebrews 10:38, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Look, Habakkuk 2 and 4 got even more specific. In Habakkuk 2 and 4, it said, the just shall live by his faith. Specific. Here, the Apostle Paul says in Romans 12, chapter 3rd, verse, that God has dealt to every man the measure, not a measure, the measure, or a very specific part of faith. So, let's ask the Holy Spirit. I love to meditate the Word of God. Just ask the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, give me some insight on this. What does it actually mean? What is the Apostle Paul trying to say? I never forget it, clear as day. The Holy Spirit told me to substitute the word faith with the word assignment. Now listen, if this revelation, if what the Holy Spirit telling me is true, I should be able to apply that in every scripture where the word faith is used. So let's think about that, man. Let that sink in. Replace the word faith with assignment. Mark 11:22, have faith in God, or have your assignment in God, or let your assignment come from God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at this scripture, Romans 12:3. He says, but God has dealt to every man the measure of assignment, or their what? Piece, part, a part of the assignment. So God has dealt to you and me and all of our brothers and sisters, even those that hadn't come to Christ yet, God has dealt to every man or given every man a part of his assignment or apostolic grace. Let that sink in. It's important that you grab this. You know, pick your favorite scriptures on faith. Matter of fact, let's go to Hebrews 11:1. Let's read that again. Watch this. We're going to read it. We're going to read it the regular way. Then we're going to substitute it with our word. All right. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Let's read without word in it. Now my assignment is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now let's break this down. What does this scripture mean that now my assignment is the substance of things hoped for? Let's define the word hope. What is hope? Hope is some future goals, some dreams, some plans, just what I want to happen in the future. So now the question is, remember now, we can't be self-centric. We got to be God-centric. So the question is, whose hope is Hebrews 11 and 1 talking about? Whose hope is this talking about? You thought it was talking about your hope. That scripture is not talking about your hope. Not talking about your future goals. Not talking about your plans. Not talking about your dreams. Let's go to Hebrews 11 and 6 and let's find out whose hope is talking about. Hebrews 11 and 6, jump right down. What it says, you read it. Let's read it together. Ready? Let's read. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Are you reading? Are you reading? It says, but without what? My assignment. It's impossible to please him, meaning God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So without my assignment, without me knowing my assignment, it's impossible for me to please God. That makes all the sense in the world. If you ask me to come help you, if you invite me to your life to come help you, and I show up and I don't know what you want me to do, I cannot please you. And why am I over there? What am I coming for? To get in the way? Don't be in the way. Glory to God. We as Christians, we as children of God, we have to realize that we cannot get in the way of the apostolic. If you don't know your assignment, if you don't know where God has placed you, that's why you're here at this training center, to learn, to understand the apostolic, to learn new definition of faith, to learn so that you don't be in the way. You can be a part of the way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So understanding that without my assignment, it's impossible for me to please God. So now if my faith or my assignment is what pleases God, then I got to go back to the first verse and realize that that hope is not talking about my hope or your hope or our hope. It's talking about God's future plans and dreams. Oh, glory to God. So now let's read verse 1. Now my faith or my assignment is the substance or the stuff of God's plan. So therefore, when I participate, when I'm involved with what God is asking me to do, you and I are literally bringing to pass the dreams of God. Glory to God. Mankind has been having an opportunity to do this from jump, to bring to pass the dreams of God. Let me tell you something about God. God is all powerful. God is all knowing, and God is everywhere. God limited himself in one area on purpose. God cannot accomplish anything in the natural unless you and I or man is involved. And God did that on purpose so that we can work with him to establish his kingdom. So without faith, it's impossible for me to bring the dreams of God to pass. That's why Romans 10:17 says, so then my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now let's go there. Let's go there. Romans the 10th chapter. I know I'm going fast, but I'll spend a couple of classes on this so this can sink in. Because you have got to shift from being self-centric to God-centric. Why do you go to church on Sunday? Are you going to get a word for your situation? Are you going because you're going to feel good? Or are you going because you want to hear from your man or woman of God, so that you can find out what direction we're going in, so that you can be throwing out clues, so that when you go back and spend time with God on your own, God will begin to fill in the clues, fill in the blanks, so you'll know accurately what God is asking you to do. You'll know accurately where you're supposed to be. You'll know accurately who you're supposed to be involved with. You'll know accurately who to get out your life. You'll know accurately who to put in your life. Glory to God. Romans the 10th chapter. Watch this. Romans the 10th chapter. We got 15 minutes left. Romans the 10th chapter. Romans the 10th chapter. Verse 17. Very familiar scripture. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, if you're self-centric, If you read the scripture from a self-centered point of view, then you're trying to get faith to get what you want, so you spend time in the Word so you can get faith. That's not what this scripture is talking about. Because, all right, many of y'all know this, but we have some young Christians in this class that may not know this. Old Testament written in Hebrew. New Testament written in Greek. Both of those are romantic languages, they would call it. So what it means by romantic language, meaning that every time they would talk, there would be body language and expression behind what they were saying. Expression would help give meaning to what they were saying. It's not like our language in America where we come up with slangs all the time and we have different words mean the same thing. They didn't have that. You have to actually physically be in the presence of somebody to kind of understand what they're saying, because they had body language reflection and voice when they talk. So you know that one word reflected in this way means this. The same word reflected in another way means that. That's how their language works. So when the Bible was translated, those authors did the best they could. And watch this. In the 17th verse, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. That word, that phrase, that word, W-O-R-D, can mean one or two things. It can mean logos or rhema. Logos is the written word of God, what God has said. Rhema is what God is saying. Now, strangely enough, this particular passage translated in the Greek into rhema. So watch this. So it says, so then my assignment comes by hearing, and hearing by what God is saying. So that means I have to spend time with God in order for me to have faith, or for me to get my assignment. I hope you're understanding this. See, you thought faith was to get your house. You thought faith was to get you the job you wanted. You thought faith was to get your car. You thought faith was just to get you healed. The first objective of faith is to bring to pass the dreams of God. Remember now, Hebrews 11 and 6, he says, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a what? Rewarder of those that do what? Diligently seek him. God has it all laid out. God has thought this thing all the way out. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Other words, God has thought your life out. But if you don't take time to ask him about what he wants with you, we'll come back to Romans 10:17, a lot of scriptures. Go to Ephesians, the first chapter. A lot of us read this scripture wrong. This Ephesians, the first chapter. Watch this. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. And I want you to underline this when we read it. Ephesians, the first chapter, verse 17. Apostle Paul said, Apostle Paul is talking to the church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. And look what he says. He says, I cease not, verse 17, to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? Watch now, why? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, or the Father of success, may give unto us, you and I, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the, what is the purpose, what is the future goal, what are the dreams of his calling. Watch this now. I want you to learn this. And what the riches of the glory of, circle that word, his, and put a capital H on it, because it's talking about God, his inheritance in the saints. So almost two times. Look, go back. It says that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory, or the riches of the success of his inheritance in you, in the saints. So God has something on the inside of you that he wants to work with you to pull on the outside, so that his part of it, so that part. Remember now, Romans 12:3, measure of faith, part of assignment, so that your part can be established on the earth. Oh, glory to God. So, you mean to tell me, Leroy Jr., that if I don't know my assignment if I don't know, if I don't become God-centric, that means a part of God's kingdom will go unestablished. That's exactly what I'm saying. Either that or God will find somebody else to do what you're supposed to do. See, this is why it's so important that we become God-centered. Listen, faith will produce everything you want and desire. God said it. He said it, I think it's Psalms 37 and 4, or it's 34 and 7, one of them. He said, if you delight yourself in the Lord, that means you focus on what he wants, what's going to happen? He'll give you the desires of your heart. Oh, glory to God. It's simple. The problem is we become so self-centric that we're trying to use the word of God just to accomplish our agenda. You must let your agenda go and grab on to the agenda of God. That's what it means to become apostolic. I'm letting go of my agenda. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Oh, my God. The life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. What? That, I didn't die on the cross, so how did I get crucified? I got crucified when I decided to lay down my agenda and pick up his agenda. I became a branch. He's the vine, I'm a branch. It's not about what I want. It's about what he wants. Listen, Galatians 6 and 7, another favorite scripture of mine. God says, God is not mocked. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I reap always trying to use, if I sow always trying to use the scriptures for my self-centered motives, what I'm going to reap? Oh, my God. But if I decide to sow my energy, sow my life, sow my will into God, what I'm going to reap? See, that's why a lot of people don't understand Matthew 6:33. You cannot read Matthew 6:33 without understanding verses 9 through 13 of that same chapter. No way. Seek ye what? First, God's ways of doing things. And righteousness, and his righteousness means doing them his way right. Other words, it's right to give, but it's righteous to give what God said to give. All glory to God. It's righteous to do something good for God, but it's right to do something good for God, but it's righteous to do what God telling you to do. Oh, that's the difference. It's right to do something for God, but it's righteous to do what God is telling you to do. Powerful. So we must understand that everywhere you see the word faith, you replace it with the word assignment. And faith will become a concrete word to you. It'll no longer be an abstract concept. It'll be a concrete word. It'll be something you can put your hands on, something that you can see. It has to be concrete, because if I'm supposed to live by faith or carry out the process of life by my assignment, I can't play with this. This can't be no abstract term where I don't understand faith. I can't use it. I don't know. Some people just say, well, just believe. Believe what? Believe the word of God. Okay, believe the word of God. Now I believe the word of God. Now what? Satan believes the word of God. Satan even quotes the word of God. Satan knows the word of God is true. But what separates us from Satan in believing and knowing that the word of God is true is that we can receive revelation from God about our life and begin to display it in the natural. Satan can't do that. So what Satan does is he will take your power from you, go around the corner and bring it back to you, act like he powerful, and he not. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. He just took Eve's power, went around the corner and presented it back to her, and she thought he was powerful. And he was only telling her who she already was. Glory to God. We must understand that we cannot be self-centric. We got to be God-centric. Later on, we're going to learn covenant. Oh, my God. You cannot stay in covenant self-centric, being self-centered. You won't survive. You will not survive in covenant if you're thinking about you. If you're self-centered, you cannot, you, it's impossible for you to survive in covenant if you're self-centered. This is why I'm laying the groundwork for you to understand faith, so you understand that you cannot be self-centered. You got to be God-centered. Listen, God says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what are you going to do? He's going to add all these things to you. The 32nd verse says, whatever the Gentiles seek after, God already knows. Oh, watch this. Already knows that you have need of all those things. So God, some of your desires, if you operate properly in the kingdom, if you operate properly in the apostolic, if you become God-centered, your needs, your wants will become needs, and they start showing up. Things start happening in your life. Things that you've been trying to work out yourself, when you become God-centered, things begin to work out for you. You know, with effortlessly, with no sweat off your back, things will begin to happen in your life. But you have to become God-centered. You have to become God-centered. If you do not become God-centered, it's going to be impossible for you to operate in the apostolic. It's going to be hard for you to do what I think is a 2 Timothy, take reproof and correction and doctrine. Because when you're self-centered, it's about what God can do for you. But it's no longer, let that be no longer God, what you can do for me. God says, I already know, God, what you can do for me, God, but I want to know what I can do for you. So I want you to begin to take the time to run a reference. Get a concordance. Look at the word faith. Everywhere you see the word faith, replace it with the word assignment. Watch how that word changes your concept of faith. The first objective of faith is not to get your house. Faith can produce your house. Notice what I said. The objective of faith is not to get your house. Faith can produce your house. The first objective of faith is not to get your dream job. It can produce it. It's not to get your dream car. It can produce it. But the first objective of your faith is to bring the dreams of God to pass. I hope you enjoyed tonight's class. I'll see you next week. Oh, before we go, just found out today, Dr. Winston called for Apostle to come minister in his International Faith Conference. I'm doing this as a bonus. You can get a free, a pass, attendance credit, or let's do it like this. I give you 10 bonus points, not only in this class, not on this class, but I give you 10 bonus points in every other class. I'm going to let the instructors know. I want you to watch tomorrow night's session. He will be preaching live online at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. He'll be preaching tomorrow. Even if you don't watch it live, you can watch the archive. I will give an attendance quiz on it. This is bonus work. It's extracurricular. You don't have to do it, but discipline yourself. He'll be preaching tomorrow night. Dr. Winston called him today and asked him to come tomorrow night to Chicago to preach at his International Faith Conference. I want you to watch it live. If you can't watch it live, watch the archive. I'm doing an attendance quiz. I'm gonna give you 10 bonus points in every one of your classes if you attend, if you watch it and take that attendance quiz. It's gonna be about 5 to 7 questions that you have to answer properly, and I will make sure you have 10 bonus points. That's tomorrow night, which will be September the 17th, I think. Yeah, September the 17th. Yeah, September the 17th. Tomorrow night, which is a Thursday, September 17th at 7 p.m. at BillWinston.org. Apostle will be ministering there tomorrow, and you don't want to miss it. At BillWinston.org, you watch it live or watch the archive. 10 bonus points for correctly answering the attendance quiz after watching it. 10 bonus points in all of your classes. I bless you. Have a wonderful night. I look forward to next week.